This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, it's Sprague here. Really appreciate you listening. You're about to get some podcast excellence. It's presented by Les Schwab Tires, doing the right thing since 1952.
Joining us now is Dan Luss. He's a sports attorney. You can give him a follow on Twitter, at DLuss, ESQ. He has an article up. You can find it at thesportslawinsider.com about impending potential litigation between Kevin Durant and the Golden State Warriors. Dan, thanks for the time, man, here in Portland. We appreciate it. Where did this theory come from? How did this get cooked up? And what have you written about between what Kevin Durant can do based on how his injury played out with Golden State?
I have to say first, that was kind of a low blow to my Knicks, guys. Come on. We're just the laughingstock of all the sports world. Do you have to pile on us? Come on.
I kind of feel like, Dan, at this point, you're just numb to it, so it doesn't really impact you anymore.
I am, because we just do the right move every single time.
That's right. Yeah, smart. Play smart.
It's actually a good starting point, and I'm going to take the contrarian position here. I think it's possible that for the first time in the Knicks franchise that they actually made a savvy move by not offering the max here. Mm-hmm. Okay, so here's really where this all bears out. So I mentioned the article I published with the Sports Law Insider through my firm Goldberg Sagala. I wrote just kind of in academia what a $1 billion lawsuit would look like. And after that happened, you know, and we all know the scene, he falls down, he clutches his right leg, and then Bob Myers has that crazy press conference, and then Jay Williams gets up and he's throwing barbs left and right. That was only the beginning. After I published the article is really where things started to get hazy. So to answer your question, the thing that's really brought the most smoke here is this crazy jersey retirement in the middle of everything. So are you guys familiar with what I'm talking about?
Yeah, they came out
and said they're retiring as number 35.
Yeah,
came out and started kissing his ass a little bit.
So you guys will like this. I have a nice list in front of me, okay? These are the Warriors that have had their jerseys retired in history, okay? Wilt Chamberlain, Chris Mullin, Rick Barry, Nate Thurman. No one has played less than 6 years, okay? Durant played three, and he just left them in free agency. Oh, and that was the record for fastest jersey retirement of all time. Second place is now Andre Iguodala, who had his own jersey retired 7 days after leaving the team. And the reason I bring this up, I've followed sports my entire life. I don't remember two guys having their jerseys retired that are still playing in the league within a week of leaving. And the reason Iguodala is important, Iguodala made those rounds on the Breakfast Club, you know, maybe 2-3 days before free agency. He says, you know, he gives kind of some weight to this Durant lawsuit stuff. He says the Warriors pressured Durant. They pressured him to come back just like they pressured me in the 2018 finals when I had a fractured leg. They lied to the media and they pressured me into coming back for game three. So Iggy says that, and guys, 3-4 days later, he's off the team. And then his jersey's retired. So I just wrote this for fun. And now every day there's something new, and you guys brought it up. Now he's saying he just signed with the Nets without telling anybody. His mom was going out and on making her own little media tour saying that Durant can't clear himself. It has to be, you know, it had to be the doctors. So there's just so much smoke here, and I'm happy to kind of unwind this and really see where it goes in a legal route, but it's almost playing out like a soap opera. Every day there's something new.
Well, and Dan, you mentioned in the article, look to more of like a 2022. If this contract ends in Brooklyn, it doesn't go well. He's a shell of what he was. He may look at this and go, okay, well, I'm no longer getting max deals. People don't view me this way. I lost a lot of money from that injury. And that's maybe when a lawsuit, if it is to pop up, could. I wanted to elaborate on that more on the Iggy part, because he did do that Breakfast Club interview and it went viral about how he played with a broken leg and they lied about what it was. And there's reportedly information that KD was kind of pressured. But I'm wondering, do you think they would team up? And maybe in this instance, because even though they're having their jerseys retired, quote unquote, it doesn't feel like they left on great terms. Iguodala throwing shots at him because he knew he was going to be traded. KD not probably ever considering them in free agency and leaving Steph hanging in the airplane. You think these guys as friends, because Iggy helped in the locker room, maybe they team up in a lawsuit against Golden State for these two injuries?
Well, I'll tell you, it's so the lawsuit here, I mean, so there's, I should take a step back. So the lawsuit, for people that haven't read my article, this is a California case. Everyone's living in California. The Warriors are based in California. It doesn't matter that the actual Achilles was torn in Toronto. That's where the nexus of this case would be, in California. So, Iguodala has his own gripes with the team, but the reason that Durant potentially has a lawsuit and Iguodala doesn't. The state of California, workers' compensation usually preempts this stuff for athletes, but workers' compensation can never preempt a lawsuit, you know, for this big $1 billion if there's an allegation of fraudulent concealment. So that's, you know, I should unpack these Jay Williams comments, because that's where that comes. Iggy, you know, I don't know if they weren't concealing anything from him. He knew what his own diagnosis was, right? He knew he had a fractured leg. What Jay Williams comes out, and Jay Williams is, for your listeners that don't know, you know, Jay Williams, former professional basketball player. He's, you know, number two overall pick. He has the tragic motorcycle accident. This is a guy that goes on television the next day and says that, and he's Durant's very close friend. You know, it's almost like Andy and Brandon, if one of you got into an Achilles, I'd want to know what the other one would have to say. I'm listening to that. It's not a nobody. And Williams says that he knows for a fact that Durant was told that there was a 0% chance that he could tear his Achilles. And not only that, that the Warriors didn't have his best interest in heart when they rendered, you know, that diagnosis. So if they're telling him there's a 0% chance of tearing his Achilles, and guys, he tears his Achilles, I mean, it's not rocket science where a lawsuit could result here. But to answer your point, though, Iguodala can't sue, but I thought of this when it happened. I mean, Iguodala would be called as a witness. That's really where it would come in, because you'd have to establish, you know, that's not the only one. You'd have to convince, you know, a jury that this is something they've done in the past. Maybe there's even more stuff that comes out. You know, Sean Livingston was just kicked off the team. I mean, maybe at this point, nothing would surprise me.
Yeah, we're talking with Dan Luss. You can give him a follow on Twitter, at DLuss, ESQ. A sports attorney wrote an article recently, Sports Law Insider, about potential litigation between Kevin Durant and Golden State after what happened in the Western Conference Finals. I am curious, and I don't know if you've talked about this, and maybe I just miss it in the article, but when you bring up an idea like this, it does make sense, and depending on what Kevin Durant turns into and what the next 4 years look like for him in Brooklyn and how he's able to recover from it. Have we seen a lot of these in the past in sports? Like, are there examples of guys who have had, issues with the medical staff of the team or being forced to play?
Reggie
something
Bush and the Rams came to my mind.
Sure. Yeah. How many examples of this have we seen over the years?
You guys will like this one. The first one in basketball to successfully sue their team was actually a Portland Trailblazer. You guys know who I'm talking about?
I do, but I can't think of his name off the top of my head. We've talked about this before.
Bill Walton. Bill Walton, 1978. He sued for almost the exact same thing. Back then, we didn't really know what painkillers were doing. So, you know, but at the end of his Portland tenure, they were shooting him up with painkillers in his feet. And apparently what he alleged is that had long-term problems. So everyone knows that Bill Walton, his career ended with foot problems. But maybe, you know, maybe if you take a year off and you can come back, maybe it kind of heals up. But that's, you know, it's rare, but, you know, and I should get to this, because I know, guys, the reason I'm probably on this podcast is because on the radio is because I said a number like $1 billion, right? Maybe?
No. I find it
it's
a very
interesting topic,
story
yeah.
anyway, yeah.
Well, this is the big thing, and this is really why it's blowing up on Twitter and social. Bill Walton sued for $5.6 million in 1978. And if you just use pure, you know, inflation from basketball, that's still a high number. We're adding two zeros to all these contracts. That was a huge number. But this is important. And the math, what I really wanted to relay to people, the biggest thing I get from the Twitter trolls is that Durant signed a max. So that means that he has no damages, right?
Right.
So in the way the law works, you have 3 years to file a suit. So we're not going to know the player that Durant's going to be for his entire career. But the law, you can't just wait forever to sue. You have 3 years to sue, and then, you know, you'll see where you are. We'll really know in 2 years, Durant, you know, it takes a year to come back and a year to come back to form from that. So if Durant is kind of a shell of himself and he's averaging 9 points a game, you guys, you know, I think this is just the most apt comp, and you guys can really see where the money lies. Wes Matthews, right? For you guys in 2015, he was a premier player in basketball. He has the Achilles tear, and then he signs the max with Dallas, right? In 2016,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah.
Okay,
70 mil.
He had this. It's the same. He had an Achilles tear in his contract year, signed a max, and the Dallas Mavericks say they ignore all the facts that say unless your name is Dominique, you're never going to come back.
Right.
They signed him to a max deal. Wes Matthews just came off of that contract, averaging 10 points a game, and guys just signed a $2.56 million 1 year veterans minimum. So that's a guy that went from a max contract, $17 million a year, to now two. And I don't know how many years Wes Matthews is going to be in the league now. And this isn't Wes Matthews money we're talking about. This is Durant money. And Durant makes, you know, globally, on and off the court, $75 million. If he's a shell of himself and he's averaging 3 points, or he's like Isaiah Thomas and just never plays basketball again, this is a guy who just used basic work-life expectancy tables like we do as attorneys. You figure out what the guy was making today, you know, as the date of the injury, and you figure out how much he was making to the end of his life. Mm. And, you know, just playing-wise, he's making $80 million a year. But the scary part and the reason why we get way – I mean, Billy might even be conservative. Shaquille O'Neal is 8 years post-retirement, and I don't really think he – you know, he's Durant has the same, you know, type of earnings as Shaquille does. 8 years post-retirement is making $30 million.
Yeah.
I mean, Shaq's not slowing down. He's got Icy Hot. He's got the General. Everywhere you look, Shaq, there's Shaq. So what Durant's lawyers would argue is, to the extent he had a terrible Achilles injury, and he's not the same guy, and he's like Dirk, right? He's playing every couple games. He said, you guys not only harmed my on-court earnings, you hurt my off-court image. And that's astronomical. Think of Colin Kaepernick right now, guys, right? I mean, Nike's paying him, but he's kind of untouchable for certain brands. And maybe if you lose that KD cool factor, I mean, the guy's making $35 million a year right now. He's got deals everywhere, but if he's a shell of himself or he's, you know, malcontent and the Brooklyn fans turn on him, that's not a guy that's going to have the same off-court, you know, earnings potential.
But let me ask you this, though, Dan. You mentioned the Twitter trolls, and there's always going to be trolls no matter what you do in life.
Love them. I love those Twitter trolls. Come at me.
Hey, they care about you. The one thing I would say, though, just kind of playing the other side on this Kevin Durant thing is, it seems like they misdiagnosed, because all the reports from Doris Burke were suggesting what you said. Guys, there's no fear that he can tear anything or get any more injured than he is. There's no doubt misinformation somewhere. But how much of this case holds up, given that Golden State can point and say, well, Kevin chose to play. We gave him the option. He wanted to play.
This is really where it comes down. And I don't want to just play the one side of the equation. There is an argument here. If I'm stepping into the Golden State Warriors, I'm their attorney today. Here's really where the case turns. So in the NBA CBA, it's a dual decision to come back to the floor. The player has to be ready to come back. He has to clear himself, and the team has to say he's clear. So we saw this play out last year, right, with Kawhi. One side said they're ready, and the other side said they weren't, and that was it. It was a stalemate. Durant checked, you know, he wanted to play. He checked with his own doctor. But what Durant's, let's say, and there's a hypothetical scenario, right? Let's say Durant went to his own doctor, and his own doctor said, it's unlikely, Kevin, but, it's not impossible. It's unlikely that you're going to tear your Achilles. He goes to the independent doctor, and he says the same thing. And he's kind of on the fence. I'm Durant's lawyer here arguing this. He's kind of on the fence until he goes and he walks into the Warriors medical staff. And they say, Kevin, we have the greatest doctors in the state of California. We can guarantee you without a shadow of a doubt there is a 0% chance you will injure your Achilles. So there's a scenario, right? You know, I'm a poker player. That's the Golden State Warriors coming in all in over the top, mm-hmm. and saying, Kevin, don't worry about what these other guys are saying. We're here. We got you. We trust you. Again, a hypothetical, but that's a scenario where, irrespective of what Durant does, he's now relying on this assurance that they're 0%. Now if I'm playing the Golden State Warriors side, what their argument would be on the other side, and healthy debate is always good. This isn't a one-sided, you know, equation. They could argue on the other end, hey, well, what if Durant, you know, we all wondered as fans, right, why is Durant coming back? He has so much to lose and so little to gain. But maybe in his head he cooked up this narrative, maybe I can be Willis Reed for the mm-hmm. West Coast, right? Maybe I'm going to play no matter what my leg is, I'm going to play. And even before he stepped foot in those hypothetical doors when they said we're the greatest doctors in California, he already made up his mind. So then, you know, when you have to dissect a lawsuit, you'd call witnesses, you try to figure out what his mindset was. Maybe you'd call Rich Kleiman, try to figure out what was going on in Durant's head. So even if there is, you know, a deviation from the standard of care with this doctor, the issue of proximate cause is still, we don't know what exactly led to Durant being on the floor. So it's definitely not an open and shut case, but in the same sense, I think the lawsuit is much more likely than people are giving it credit for.
Interesting stuff. Dan Lust is his name. Give him a follow on Twitter, at DLustESQ. We tweeted out his article, Sports Law Insider, about Kevin Durant and the potential litigation between him and the Golden State Warriors. Thanks so much, man, for taking some time for us here in Portland. We really appreciated it.
Okay, guys, lay off my Knicks, please. Please.
We'll take it easy.
We'll try.
There you go.
Dan. Right, guys, thanks.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.